Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on April 25th, 2013, as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our most loving and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of the one who is described as Ahetuka Daya Sindhu, the one who is an infinite ocean of compassion which knows no cause. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we may never ever forget to think of you every moment of our lives and never lose a moment to thank you for all that you have done for us. Let you never go out of our consciousness, no matter whatever we do. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And the bhajan we will be learning today adores our Lord Sai as Sri Rama. The first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Kaushalyanandana Vaidehi Mohana.
And now let's get into learning proper. We will start with getting familiar with the lyrics and then move on to the raga, tala, the meaning of every word, and in the end we will have a short conversation with someone who has been a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group for more than 10 years now. He is Mr. A. Sunil, who has had beautiful moments with Bhagwan singing right in front of him for years. So that's coming up towards the end of the program. For now, let's begin with the lyrics.
Kaushalya Nandana Vaidehi Mohana Rajiva Lochana Rama Yuga Avatara Parameshwara Rama Asura Nikhandana Kodanda Rama Bharatagraja Shri Rama Partipurishwara Rama.
So that was the lyrics, and now let's get to singing. You will now hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments, and Brother Anirudh will follow him after every line. Dear listeners, you too join Anirudh as he sings. You will like it.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C Pancham.
Kaushalyanandana Vaidehi Mohana.
Kaushalyanandana Vaidehi Mohana.
Kaushalyanandana Vaidehi Mohana.
Kaushalyanandana Vaidehi Mohana.
Rajivalochana Rama.
Rajivalochana Rama.
Rajivalochana Rama.
Rajivalochana Rama.
Yuga Avatara Parameshwara Rama.
Yuga Avatara Parameshwara Rama.
Yuga Avatara परमेश्वर रामा
युगावतारा परमेश्वर रामा
असुर निखंडन कोदंड रामा
असुर निखंडन कोदंड रामा
असुर निखंडन कोदंड रामा
असुर निखंडन कोदंड रामा
भरताग्रज श्रीरामा पर्तिपुरीश्वर रामा
भरताग्रज श्रीरामा परतिपुरीश्वर रामा
हे भरताग्रज श्रीरामा परतिपुरीश्वर रामा
हे भरताग्रज श्रीरामा परतिपुरीश्वर रामा
कौशल्यनंदन वैदेहि मोहन
And now let's learn a little about the composition of this bhajan from Brother Anirudh who is already here with us. Welcome Anirudh to this program.
Thank you Vishu.
So tell us in which raga is this bhajan based Anirudh?
Kausalya Nandana, it's a very beautiful composition in the rag Mand.
Mand.
Yeah, it's a very melodious raga and the notes of this raga go like this.
Sa ga ma dha ni sa sa ni dha 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 ma ga 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 re sa ni za da ni za ma pa ga
It's a very complicated raga where you have both gandhars both devats
Yes, both the dhas and both the gas, and probably that is what is giving beauty to the raga.
And even pancham also.
Yes, please do for us a small elaboration of the feel of the raga, Anirudh.
Definitely.
Ah
It is beautiful, but it's complicated. Not everyone can sing it. Are there any compositions that come to your mind in this raga?
Yeah, there are many compositions. The one which comes to my mind is a Kannada song.
Baro Krishnaya.
It is actually a ragamalika, but the first stanza of the song, it's in the ragamond.
Okay.
Baro Krishnaya, ninna bhaktaramane higa Krishnaya, baro Krishnaya, ninna bhaktaramane higa Krishnaya, baro Krishnaya.
It is calling Krishna to our home.
Oh, okay.
Baro Krishnaya.
Yes.
Very beautiful song.
Wonderful. Anirudh, let's get back to our bhajan. Can you please now take every line of the bhajan and explain the swaras?
Yeah, sure.
Kausalyanandana Vaidehi Mohana Gama Pamagari Sagagaga Gama Dhadada Madhamaga Rajiva Lochana Rama Madhaniridha Mama Papa Mapamada Mapaga Yuga Avatara Parameshwara Rama Sanidada Sasa Mamadhadhanidha Pama Asurani Khandana Kodanda Rama Nizanida Riri Nizanida Sasa Asurani Khandana Kodanda Rama Nizanida Riri Nirigama Gari Gari Sa Bharataagraja Shri Rama Paritipurishwara Rama Rigasanizama Madhadha Dhanidadapama Madhaniridha Mamapapa Mapamadamapaga.
Wonderful. Can you think of any other bhajan which in this raga, Anirudh?
Yeah, there are many compositions in this raga. Few of them are Prema Swaroopini.
Yes, the obvious
Janani
one.
Ma Sharana Namostute Sai Ma.
There the mand touch comes. And we have a
Ayodhya Shiromani Dasharatha Rama Saketaranjana Kaivalya Dhama.
Yes. Beautiful composition.
Yes.
And I think
Hari Anandamaya Jayanarayana
also belongs to Mars.
Yes. Yeah.
Vasudevanandana Radha Jeevana.
I think all those soft touches.
Very subtle.
Yes.
Very beautiful. Yeah.
Very beautiful. But needs a lot of practice to sing. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh, for sharing your insights on the raga of this bhajan.
Thank you, Vishu. Sairam.
So that was a brief explanation of the raga. And now, coming to the tala, this bhajan is set to the regular 8-beat, the Kerva tala of Hindustani music or Adi talam of Carnatic music. So now we are done with the tune, the raga and the tala, and now let's move on to understanding what is conveyed in this bhajan and how we should offer this bhajan to the Lord. Let's begin by taking one line at a time. Here is the first.
कौशल्यनंदन वैदेहि मोहन
कौशल्यनंदन वैदेहि मोहन.
Here Kaushalya refers to the earthly mother of Lord Rama, the incarnation of the divine in the Trita Yuga. She was the daughter of the king of Kosala and hence was named Kaushalya. The second word is Nandana, meaning son. Hence Kaushalya Nandana means the beloved son of Mother Kaushalya. The third word is Vaidehi, which is another name for Mother Sita, the consort of Lord Rama. Baba explains that Sita was called Vaidehi because she was the daughter of King Janaka, who was also called Videha. Videha means one who has no attachment to the body. Baba says the name Vaidehi too means one who has transcended the illusion caused by body attachment, one who identifies herself with the Atma within and not the body. And the last word Mohana means the one who attracts. It is this spirit within each one of us which is captivated by the glory of the Master Spirit. It is this spirit that longs to merge in that universal spirit, the Supreme Consciousness. And that is the reason why the Lord is described as Vaidehi Mohana. We are all truly made of spirit and we are captivated by the Lord, the Supreme Spirit. And that is how the Lord is described as Vaidehi Mohana, the Lord who captures Sita, the one who captures our souls. Thus in this line, Kaushalya Nandana, Vaidehi Mohana, we hail Lord Rama as the darling son of Kaushalya, the Lord who mesmerizes the inner core of our beings. Let's move on to the second line.
राजीवलोचन रामा
राजीवलोचन रामा.
Here the first word is Rajiva, meaning lotus. The second word Lochana means eye. Hence Rajiva Lochana means lotus eyed. Now, why is the phrase lotus-eyed used to describe Lord Rama and why not any other flower? Baba says the lotus which stays deep down in the mud comes up to the light, but it cannot stay without water because it would die. However, it does not get mixed up either with the mud or the water. Even if water falls on the lotus flower, it simply rolls off. Though born of mud and water, the lotus is least affected by either. It is in fact above them. Baba says that that is how the Lord is. When he takes a human form, he is born in this earth and lives and moves surrounded by earthly beings, but at the same time he is affected in the least by the earthly environment. It is to convey this deep meaning that the Lord is described as the lotus-eyed one, the one with lotus feet, lotus hands, and so on. The last word in this line is Rama. When sage Vasistha was called to name the four sons of King Dasharatha, he chose the name Rama for the son born to Dasharatha and Kaushalya. He said, "This child born to promote the joy of Kaushalya will do the same for all mankind. His virtues will bring solace and contentment, joy and happiness to all. The yogis and seekers will find in him a great source of bliss. Therefore, from this moment, his name will be Rama, he who pleases." Therefore, in this line, Rajiva Lochana Rama, we describe the Lord as the enchanting one who confers peace, who has beautiful lotus eyes, the one who constantly teaches us to remain joyful and maintain equanimity as we live in this world. Let's now move on to the third line.
Yuga Vatara परमेश्वर रामा
युग अवतारा Parameshwar Rama.
Here the first word is Yuga, meaning an era or span of time. During the summer course of 1978, Baba explained the concept of the Yuga. He said, the great sages in ancient India divided time into four Yugas called Krita, Dwapara, Treta and Kali. These Yugas continue to come back again and again. The word Krita indicates four times. The word Treta refers to three times. The word Dwapara signifies two times. And Kali gives us an authoritative unit of measurement. According to the sages, 432,000 years is the basic unit and represents the number of years in a Kali Yuga. Two times this, or 864,000 years, represents the Dwapara Yuga. Three times this basic number, that is 1,296,000 years, is the measure of Treta Yuga, and four times this measure, that is 1,728,000 years, refers to Krita Yuga. And by adding all this, we get 43,20,000 years, and this, Baba said, refers to a Mahayuga. After one Mahayuga, the Krita Yuga starts again. And in this manner, and by assigning such measures, the ancients interpreted time. After explaining about the Yugas, Baba added that God comes down in human form during every Yuga. He said, from time to time in these Yugas, God appears as an avatar for the purpose of showing the divinity that is contained in human beings and for setting an exemplary life as an example. God takes a human form so that He is accessible to human beings and they can experience true happiness and joy. Moving on, the second word here is avatar, which means incarnation of God. And Baba gives a beautiful example to illustrate what avatar means. He says, a big officer may be well versed in many branches of learning, but when he teaches his little son, he begins to write upon the slate the letters A, B, C, D, and the boy learns them. Why should such a highly educated officer come down to the level of teaching the alphabet? It is for the sake of teaching his ignorant son. This does not mean that the officer knows only the letters of the alphabet. Baba explains this and goes on further to add that the avatar never loses the original divine nature when he comes down in human form. Swami says, out of his love and affection for mankind, the Lord descends to the human level in order to elevate men to godhood. And such a descent does not in any way diminish divinity. Bhagwan explains that in the Ramayana, Rama is depicted as one who, like other ordinary human beings, experienced the pangs of separation from Sita. Why did Rama exhibit such feelings? It is only to serve as an example to common people how they should behave in similar circumstances. Baba emphatically declares that the avatar does not forego any of his supreme powers merely because he lives and moves among human beings as a man. Let's now take up the third word, Parameshwara, which comes from Parama and Ishwara. Parama means supreme and Ishwara means the Lord. Thus in this line, Yuga Avatara Parameshwara Rama, we pay our loving salutations to the divine being who incarnated as Lord Rama during the Treta Yuga. He is indeed the one who incarnates from time to time to foster righteousness and to set a fine example for humanity to follow. Let's move on to the fourth line, which is sung actually in two variations of tune.
Asura Nikhandana Kodanda Rama.
Asura Nikhandana Kodanda Rama.
The first word here is Asura, meaning demon. The second word Nikhandana, meaning to destroy. Kodanda is the third word, the name of the bow that Lord Rama wielded. Baba says that the speciality of the Kodanda bow is that it could send the arrow straight to the target. Under Sage Vasistha's tutelage, when Rama was learning and practicing archery, Rama never aimed his bow at any living being. Even for practice, he used to aim at inanimate things because he did not want to harm any being without reason. But when the need arose, he never hesitated to use the bow to kill demons and the wicked. Thus in this line, Asura Nikhandana Kodanda Rama, we hail the Lord as the one who destroyed various demons by using the Kodanda bow, the one who uses his infinite love as the weapon to destroy all the demonic qualities within each of us. Let's move on to the last line.
Bharataagraj Shri Rama Partipurishwar Rama
Bharataagraj Shri Rama Partipurishwar Rama.
Here the first word Bharataagraja comes from Bharata and Agraja. Bharata indicates the brother of Rama and Agraja means firstborn or older or earlier. Since Rama is the elder brother of Bharata, he is referred to as Bharataagraja. In the Ramayana, when Lord Rama goes into the forest for a period of 14 years of exile, his brother Bharata is to be crowned king of Ayodhya, but he does not wish to rule. He goes to the mountain of Chitrakuta with a big group comprising of ministers, sages and the queen mothers. He tries to persuade Lord Rama to return, but Lord Rama refuses to come back despite various options that Bharata presents to him. After listening patiently to Bharata's pleadings, Lord Rama lovingly advises him to rule over Ayodhya. Lord Rama then loosens his own sandals, gives them to Bharata and blesses him. Bharata returns to Ayodhya, makes arrangements to install the sacred sandals on the throne with great pomp and grandeur. He calls the royal preceptor and the ministers of the court and assigns various duties to them. He then calls his brother Shatrughna to lovingly take care of the three queen mothers. After ensuring that everything is in place, he seeks the blessings of all the elders and retreats to a place called Nandigram, where a thatched hut is kept ready for him to live in. For the 14 years that Rama spends in exile, Bharata too leads a life of austerity, meditating on Lord Rama and practicing unity of thought, word and deed. Extolling the virtuous Bharata, Swami says, Bharata vowed that he would not look at the face of anyone until Rama returned from exile. His mind was fixed on Rama. His body became weaker every passing day. But the spiritual splendor on his face brightened more and more with the passage of time. His devotion to Rama grew to vaster and vaster proportions. He was transformed into a pure soul that had achieved fulfillment. During the summer course of 1977, Baba elaborated on Bharata's focus on Lord Rama and the lesson we must learn from this. After the 14 years of exile and after vanquishing Ravana, Rama returns to Ayodhya along with Sita and his brother Lakshmana, Sugriva and various other attendants. Rama knows very well that if he delays even a little beyond 14 years, Bharata could probably enter fire and take away his life. So Rama sends Hanuman in advance to tell Bharata about his impending arrival. When Bharata gets the news, he becomes overjoyed and quickly makes all arrangements for the reception of Rama in Ayodhya. He takes a chariot to the outskirts of Ayodhya and waits to receive Rama. When Rama arrives with Sita and Lakshmana, Bharata prostrates before them and then makes Rama sit in the chariot and himself starts driving. Baba describes this scene beautifully. He says, when Rama was sitting in that chariot and Bharata was leading the chariot through the streets of Ayodhya, the citizens of Ayodhya could not distinguish between Bharata and Rama. And the reason for this was that Bharata was also wearing his clothes and his hair just like Rama. Moreover, the brilliance in Rama's face was exactly the same as the brilliance in Bharata's face. Their bodies were different, but their ideas, their thoughts, and their brilliance were same. Bharata was continuously thinking and uttering the name of Rama. Consequently, Rama's form and Rama's splendor entered Bharata's body. It is said, Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. One who has the knowledge of Brahman becomes identical with Brahman. Citizens who came to garland Rama could not recognize who was Rama and who was Bharata. They put all the garlands on Bharata, thinking he was Rama. In spiritual progress, there are four stages: Salokyam, Samipyam, Sarupyam, and Sayujyam. The first stage, Salokyam, means perception of divinity. Samipyam, the second stage, means gaining proximity to divinity. The third stage, Sarupyam, means acquiring a form that is identical to divinity. In fact, Bharata looking identical to Lord Rama after the 14 years is a classic example of this stage. This is just one step before the final stage, Sayujyam, which means merger in divinity, where duality ceases to exist and everything is seen as divine. This is truly a very important lesson. As we think, so we become. When we constantly think of God, we too start becoming more and more like Him, and one day we become really one with God, just like Bharata. The next word in this line is Shri, which is a term of respect. The fourth word is Partipurishwara, which comes from Partipuri and Ishwara. Partipuri means the one who resides in Puttaparthi, and Ishwara means the Lord. Hence in this line, Bharatagraja Shri Rama Partipurishwara Rama, we glorify the Lord who is the earthly elder brother of Bharata in the Treta Yuga, the same Lord who reincarnated again as Sai Rama of Puttaparthi in the current times. With this, dear listeners, we are done with getting a glimpse of the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, with this deeper understanding and picturing the Lord in our mind's eye, let us sing once again. Let us now listen to the complete version of this bhajan as sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashant Nilaya Mandir. And as we hear this, let's join and practice once again.
कौशल्यनन्दन वैदेहि मोहन कौशल्यनन्दन वैदेहि मोहन ఈశ్వర రామా
Now, in the last part of this program, here is an extract of a conversation I had with Mr. A. Sunil, who joined Baba's University in 2001 for his bachelor's in chemistry and then went on to do his master's, his MPhil and his PhD in the same university. He has been a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group since 2001 and continues to sing even today in Prashanti Nilayam. So here are Sunil's reflections.
2006, January. After the sports meet, Sailesh sir has permitted me to actually ask Swami so that I can start singing. Then, since I was a Kanjira player, I was in the bhajan group only, sitting there. Then Swami, that day straight away he walked. Usually, those days, he never used to walk in the middle partition. But on that particular day, he started walking. And that time I got up and asked Swami, Swami samakshan lo bhajan paadan ki avakasam ivandi Swami. Then Swami replied,
Give
me the chance to sing in front of you. Then Swami replied, Tappaka anandanga paadandi.
Tappaka anandanga.
With joy you sing.
Wonderful.
So after these many years of practice, from 2002 till 2006, getting a word from Bhagwan, that was the most happiest moment for me in that singing career.
I mean, the grand culmination of all the effort and the pining for the chance. Wonderful. So, what happened after that?
Daily I used to practice for 1 hour. After the practice, I used to sing bhajans, full-throated. That used to give me so much of happiness. And at times, whenever I would want to connect to Bhagwan, I was able to do that. And in this connection, I would like to narrate one experience. In 2008, me and my partner, Sri Rajbhushan, we were singing Ganga Dharahara Gauri Shiva, that bhajan. So, usually, any singer would wish that Swami sits when they are singing.
Physically, Swami sitting there.
So many devotees were there and Swami went into the interview room and he was giving interview. So, we felt, okay, yeah, it's bad luck. But still, when our chance has come, we were singing. And in that bhajan, Shiridi Nivasa Saishwara, that particular line goes very high. So, with full devotion and feeling, we were just singing. That time, since Swami was in interview room, volumes also were very low.
Yeah, because Swami perhaps was speaking to someone in the interview.
So, we were singing with full feelings and devotion. It seems one of the boy who was serving Swami at that time, when we were singing that particular line, Swami had just paused for a minute in the interview room. He was looking up and then felt a little joyous and then asked that particular boy, who is singing?
Mm-hmm.
So, this particular incident, that person has narrated to us after the bhajans. Oh. So we felt so happy. Yeah.
Like when somewhere you so moved with your singing that you wanted to know who is actually singing that line.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's really such a fulfilling moment.
Yeah. So that particular experience, it gave us insight that, yeah, you sing with full devotion and feelings, Swami is going to respond.
Respond. And you had such moments feeling the omnipresence of Swami, right?
Yeah.
When you were practicing, you said you used to practice and you sing wholeheartedly and you used to connect to Bhagwan.
Yeah.
And now there are times when you physically saw Bhagwan responding.
Yeah.
And that is the fantastic thing of having an avatar. You pray and you can see the reaction to your prayer and sadhana in the physical presence where Swami himself responds. So how was it after that? You continue to sing after that from 2006 and even now you continue to sing. So how does it feel singing now in the Prashanti Mandir?
It's just the same. Once we start the bhajan, I should say we are in different world. All those memories, like just sitting right in front of him and then singing, same, those experiences will just repeat one after the other. You know, Swami also says number of times, on one such occasion, one boy asked, Swami, we are leaving this institute. Now you are not accessible to us. What to do? What is your message to us? Then Swami replied, see, you have spent time with me and you have got so many memories. So now it's time to cherish all those memories. Similarly, when we sing here, though Swami is not physically present, when we close eyes and sing, we get all those memories when Swami was there and how he directed us, how to sing and things like that. All those memories will just flow like a videotape. So that's how, it's just the same. We don't feel
so
anything.
So earlier you were opening your eyes and seeing Bhagwan.
Yeah.
Now you're closing
your
eyes
and you see him internally.
Internally. And you sing with the same feeling.
Yeah.
And I think it does the same thing to you even now.
Yeah.
You feel energized. You
yeah.
feel so fulfilled.
Exactly. This word, we really feel energized after the bhajan session.
Because I think the same Swami is there blessing us and lightening our lives. So may I ask you something else connected to this? How has singing changed your perspective of life? Or if I put it in another word, what impact it has had in your life, apart from, you know, giving you a better voice and giving you all these opportunities in front of Bhagwan, which are obviously, I mean, precious, worth a lifetime. But has it in any way had any serious change in the way you look at life and the way you treat life and the way life treats you?
Before joining Bhajan group, I was very timid, very impatient and restless at times. So being in Bhajan group, Swami has taught me that how to be patient and be calm. Only then you will be able to communicate to Bhagwan whatever prayers you want to communicate. Only then Swami also will respond. And after he responding, you will be able to get the indication in a right way. Only when we are calm and peaceful. So Bhajan group has taught me this particular thing. And not only that, it has also gave me so much of courage. Like singing in front of so many people, like it's not an easy task. Initially, I used to get very scared. But Swami has installed courage, patience, and calmness by this wonderful and precious chance.
And each of these virtues are so important now as we go on in life, as you march on in your professional life or in your academic life. The courage, the confidence to stand in front of a group of people and talk or sing, whatever, and the virtue of patience and calmness. I think those are the things so precious because we all the time are faced with so many challenges. But to learn to be calm in a stormy ocean, I think that is what is so precious virtue. And wonderful that being in Bhajan group has taught you that lesson. Thank you so much, Sunil, for coming to the studios and sharing your experiences. Hopefully we'll get to speak to you again now that you are here in Prashant Nilayam and continue to do your work in Bhagwan's University. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sairam. So that was Mr. A. Sunil, a postdoctoral research scholar in the Department of Chemistry in Bhagwan's University in Prashant Nilayam. And that brings us to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We do hope you found it useful and insightful. The sound engineers for this program are my colleagues Sunil and Abhishek. And the background score for this program was done
by another alumnus, P.S. Ramakrishnan from Chennai. With hearts full of gratitude, all of us place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our beloved Master, Bhagwan Baba. Dear listeners, we eagerly welcome your feedback and request or suggestions for this program. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org, listener@radiosai.org.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on April 25th, 2013, as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.